بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 28th of December in the year 2020 alhamdulillah we're beginning the fourth week the 22nd night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the illustrious Chief of Al-Khazraj, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, radiyallahu. And I'm halfway through the report in which Sayyidina Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman, the Keeper of Secrets, radiyallahu, is mentioning the key events during the Battle of the Trench. And the report is recorded in Abu Dawood Bayhaqi, Hakim ibn Asakir al-Bidayah, Kanz al-Umal, and Hayat al-Sahaba. And we've reached the stage where he's about to shoot Abu Sufyan, but he puts back his arrow, remembering the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hudhayfa continued with the Allah. I then gathered my courage, and I proceeded against the army. The closest people to me was the Banu Amr tribe, who were also announcing, "O family of Amr, leave, leave! You cannot stay here." Let's stop in the report. So he's got the news from the Quraysh. Abu Sufyan goes, Ama Avir. But there's other tribes. He goes further. Another tribe, the Banu Amr, they were saying, get out of here. So he now realizes they're all going to retreat and leave Al-Madinah. Subhanallah, Hudhayfa said, I also noticed that the wind was raging within their ranks, without blowing even a handspan outside their quarters. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I could hear the sounds of rocks smashing against their carriages and beddings as the wind threw them up. Just stop in the report. So he noticed something strange about the wind. He goes, because he was moving about. He goes, he was just whacking them. As soon as he moved away, he was just annoyed. It wasn't that, it was only where they were, you know, camped. The wind was smashing them. I then left to return to Rasulullah, meaning I've realized they're leaving. When I had reached halfway or close to halfway, subhanallah, I was suddenly confronted with approximately 20 horsemen all wearing turbans. And I drew my sword, expecting the worst. They thereupon said to me to put me at ease, inform your leader that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has acted on his behalf. They thereupon left as quickly as they had suddenly emerged, and I was none the wiser to who these horsemen were. So stop in the report. So he's coming back. Nobody spotted him. So he's thinking, mission accomplished. And all of a sudden, to his horror, 20 horsemen. So he's on foot. I think basically it's time to get martyred. He drew his sword. And then they said to him, basically, put back your sword. Allah Ta'ala has dealt, tell your leader on his behalf. When I returned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, I found him offering salah wrapped in a small shawl. Stop in the report. We don't even offer salat in peace, right? Somebody goes, what do you do when you've got a problem, a calamity? Well, I phone my mate. Then what do you do? If he can't help me, then I phone another male. Then what do you do? Then what it is? I look on the internet, right? Then what do you do? And after you keep asking him, he goes, why do you keep asking me, what do I do? Because when salat going to come out of your mouth? Right? When you going to say, I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Oh, obviously, brother. Yeah, we get to it. There you go. Battle of the Trench. Severity of the attack. What's the Prophet doing? Offering salat. And he's wrapped in a small shawl. Then Hudhayfa said, subhanallah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the cold suddenly returned to me as soon as I arrived. And I started shivering once more. The Prophet had made a dua to get rid of the fear and the cold. He goes, it's all come back. Whilst performing salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon motioned to me with his hand, like this, come close. When I drew closer to him, he thereupon put the edge of the shawl upon me. Subhanallah. It was the magnificent practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform salah whenever anything worried him. Stop in the report. So what's happening? Why is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, you get the impression that he's not concentrating in his salah, astaghfirullah. So the response is obviously he's the greatest worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's aware. He sees behind him, he sees to the right, the, you know, the hadith mentions. So this is a gift Allah has given the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sees Hudhaifa and he realizes he's got cold again. So he didn't take his shawl off. He made him sit virtually next to him. And he covered him in the shawl, meaning in the sitting position. So look how amazing the scene was. The Prophet's offering salat and he's sitting with the chadr, with his body next to his blessed body. And look what Hudhaifa said. He goes, I noticed that whenever the Prophet was worried about anything, he offered salat. I then informed him about what had occurred. And I told him that the enemy were about to depart as I left them. So now it's interesting. Did he mention the 20 riders? So in this report, he didn't. But from the Quran that was revealed, we realized they were angels. Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu then said, it was then that Allah the Almighty revealed the following verses of the Quran. So I'm not going to go through all of the verses, but I'll mention a bit. So the verses that were revealed, Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 9 to 25. Think about that. So 17 verses were revealed. And it's in that surah, named after that battle, the allies, the confederates, Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 9 to 25. But some of the verses I'll mention. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. O you who believe, remember the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you when the armies approached you, against which we sent a fierce wind and troops watchful over what you do, I that you could not see. Allah ta'ala is indeed watchful over what you do. So let's look at this verse. So Allah ta'ala says, remember my favor to you. I sent in your defense a wind. Then he says, a troop which you could not see. Going back to Hudhaifa, he was the one who saw them. He goes, Allah Ta'ala was watchful over what you do. Another verse. When they came upon you from above, i.e. the unholy allies, and below, i.e. the treacherous Banu Qurayza from within, and when eyes grew wild and hearts reached the throats, and you were imagining vain thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there the believers were sorely tried and shaken with a mighty shaking. Let's look at this verse. So Allah ta'ala says, they came from above, they came from below. So with that hadith, what does that mean? Those who came from above were the allies, unholy allies from outside. Those below were the Banu Qurayza. And look what Allah Ta'ala says about the Sahaba. If somebody goes to you, what were they going through? Their eyes grew wild, their hearts reached the throat. They were feeling their heartbeat in their throat. And then it says, they were imagining things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah Ta'ala says, there the believers were sorely tested, shaken with a mighty shaking. Meaning you will never ever appreciate what they went through. But Allah Ta'ala has told you, I shook them. Another verse. When a party of them said, O people of Yathrib, there is no stand for you, therefore turn back. Some of them even sought permission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our homes lie open, although they lay not open, but they simply wish to flee. So what does Allah Ta'ala mention in this verse? The munafiqs. And he quotes them, because Ya Ahlul Yathrib. Now what's interesting about that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not call Al-Madina Yathrib. If you do, seek forgiveness. So Allah Ta'ala exposed them. They went back to the Jahiliyyah. Because all people of Yathrib, because we can't stand the attack. Basically, let's flee. And then Allah Ta'ala says, they came to the Prophet. They goes, they used the excuse, our homes, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala says, there was nothing there. They only wished to flee. Another verse. Allah the Almighty and Glorious then says, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ وَشَيْطَانُ الرَّجِيمُ لَقَدْ قَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا لِمَنْ قَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Verily in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a most beautiful example. For him who looks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. What did I mention? That's where Allah ta'ala mentions that. Right in the middle of the battle of the trench, Allah ta'ala says he's the most beautiful example. If you want to know how to act during a critical moment in battle, look at Rasulullah. Was he panicking? No. In fact, he was offering salat. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salat Allah says, he is uswatun hasana. He is the most beautiful of examples. And then Allah the Almighty revealed, thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned the unbelievers, i.e. to Makkah, to Ghatafan, whatever, with their fury, without them achieving any good. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suffices for the believers in battle. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipotent, the Almighty. So these are all the verses, are just a few. But you get the gist, what was revealed. Allah ta'ala himself told them why they went through this, told them who was helping them, told them that I know what's going through your hearts, exposed the munafiqs, praised his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's all there in the Quran. And then Allah ta'ala says, I dealt with them. Meaning, you know, you asked for my help, really I dealt, you didn't even fight them. Allah Ta'ala goes, I single-handedly dealt with this. Subhanallah, thus the believers were ultimately victorious. How? Simply by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hafiz ibn Kathir, he said something very interesting here, rahmatullah alayh. Ibn Kathir, Seerah, volume 3, page 156 to 157 of the English translation. Hafiz ibn Kathir said, rahmatullah alayh, thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed their enemy from them by the wind he sent against them and the troops of angels and others he sent to them. And then Allah ta'ala said, he quotes, وَكَفَ اللَّهُ مُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suffices for the believer in battle. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 25. That is, they did not need to face them in fighting and combat, because the Almighty and the All-Powerful drew them away through His power and strength. This is why it is established in both Sahih collections from Abu Huraira radiallahu, who said that Rasulullah used to often say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He was sincere in His promise. He aided His servant, gave power to His troops, and defeated the allies all by Himself. After Him, there is indeed nothing. In Sahih Bukhari, number 4114, in the chapter on the Battle of Khandaq, Sahih Muslim, number 2724. So Ibn Kathir is giving that beautiful elaboration. He's saying that Allah Ta'ala was just testing them. Now think about that. They brought 10,000 men. So what were they thinking? There is no way we can be defeated. Allah Ta'ala defeated them without battle. Think about that when you put your head on your pillow today. What were they thinking? There is no way we can be defeated. So what did Allah Ta'ala do? I defeated you without battle. So what does that tell you if you really reflect upon that? If you got Allah Ta'ala with you, who can harm you? They can bring all the forces. Allah Ta'ala goes, I can defeat them without anything. And if you look what He's doing in this battle, you know, amazing. He goes, I did it without battle. But they were tested. Allah Ta'ala acknowledges that. He goes, there was a test. But if they had known we're not going to fight, then they would have been very calm. Well, we're not going to fight. It's just Allah Ta'ala will deal with it. But He made them go through that to show they're human beings. Right? In other words, they were thinking, Ya Allah, we need the help. And Allah Ta'ala's help was there. Now what's interesting, with regards to the wind, what wind did Allah Ta'ala send? In Sahih Bukhari, Ibn Kathir's tafsir, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was given victory by the easterly wind, but Aad was destroyed by the westerly wind. So now you need to understand something here. You need to know about Aad. So who is Aad? Aad were a nation which is in the Arabian Peninsula, and they were destroyed. A prophet was sent to them called Hud, alayhi salatu wasalam, ancient prophet, ancient. How were they destroyed? The Quran mentions by a furious wind. And Aad were known for their strength. The Quran says when they were lying dead, they were like fallen down palm trees. So think about that. What's Allah Ta'ala telling you in the Quran? Their height. If you see people died dead on the battlefield, you don't start saying, oh, they look like fallen palm trees. Wait, they're only 6 foot. Why are you calling them palm trees for? So Allah Ta'ala is hinting to something. If you look at the ways they were like fallen, they were huge. Look at what they built in the mountains. You still see their dwellings. Even with the most sophisticated machinery, you try to build those dwellings, you're going to struggle. They did it. Well, how did they do that? They were proud of that, right? So Allah Ta'ala goes, they're proud. How did he deal with them? I'll send wind. And for 7, 8 days or nights, Allah Ta'ala sent the wind. And the wind annihilated them. Which wind was it? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it was the westerly wind. But the wind that came for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the easterly wind. Why? Because he's Rahmatul Alameen. Allah Ta'ala would have wiped them out with that wind. But because he's a Rahmah, even though their unbelief is trying to destroy him, his Rahmah encompassed them. So Allah Ta'ala sent the easterly wind. So even though they were going, oh, this wind is, if they are tore for a moment, it's a good job this wind was sent. If it was the other one, without of his, thus note the endless divine mercy for this most honored of ummats. Subhanallah. So now another amazing thing. When the allies, the unholy allies, retreated, our beloved messenger mentioned another mind-boggling statement. He said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now we will attack them. They will not attack us. Now we will attack them. They will not attack us. This is in Sahih Bukhari, number 4109, in the chapter on the Battle of the Trench. Ahmad in his Musnad, number 17844. Ibn Kathir Sira, volume 3, page 1567 of the English translation. Did the Quraysh ever come again? Imagine they did. Think, he's not a prophet. He lied. So imagine after that massive test, the prophet, now another atom bomb. They're not going to come again. And you think, but Ya Rasulullah, they're still strong. They just retreated. They can come again. They can reunite. The Prophet goes, no, they're not coming again. Now we're going to go for them. Why is he making these statements? Imagine this. Anybody ask him, oh Muhammad, what happens now then? Nobody said anything to him. And yet he's saying things as if to say to the unbelievers, prove me wrong. And what happened? They didn't come. Which inevitably came true. For this was the last time the Quraysh came to Al-Madinah with the intention of annihilating the believers. Subhanallah. So now the siege. What does the Quran say? How does Allah Ta'ala describe how much they were panicking?
The Sahaba.
Yes.
Or the
okay. Heartbeat in their throat. And what about the eyes? Eyes were like bulging. So we got the Quran, and that's enough. But there's a hadith which adds to how severe the siege was. Somebody goes, well, they must have had a break, and there was a lull in the attack. With regards to how severe the siege was, reflect upon this report. Abu Ubaidah, the son of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, relates from his father. So this is the chain. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he named his son Abu Ubaidah after the great one of the Ten Promised Paradise. So he's narrating. He goes, I'm narrating from my father. Important to remember that. Ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu, the pagans kept the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from offering 4 salats during the Battle of the Trench until part of the night had passed, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed. He missed 4 salats. He then ordered sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bilal radiallahu anhu, called the azan. He did so. Then he ordered, make the iqamat, and they offered the zuhr, i.e. qaza. Then he told Bilal, make the iqamat, and they offered the asr, i.e. qaza. Then he made the iqamat, and they offered the maghrib, i.e. qaza. Then he made the iqamat, and they offered the isha prayer. Some scholars say the maghrib and isha was combined. So let's look at this. First, where's it recorded? In Nasa'i 2:17-18, Tirmidhi number 179 states, there is no objection to the chain except one. Abu Ubaidah did not hear from his father. Ahmed in his Musnad 1-375, Bayhaqi 1-403. However, this narration is supported by the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu, related by Nasa'i, number 661. Ahmad in his Musnad 3-25, Bayhaqi 1-402-3, Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi, number 2231. Sahih. Thus the hadith is sahih li ghayri. This is why the chain is important. Even though Abu Ubaidah rahmatullah alayhi said that his father informed them of this, he never heard it from his father. Think about that. You think, well, this is sunnah. He didn't hear it direct. Look how the hadith scholars, how critical they are. They go, sorry. Yeah, it's his sunnah, but he didn't hear it. So then the person goes, well, is it a weak report? They say no, because there's another chain from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, which mentions virtually the same thing. That's why I mentioned the chain there, to highlight the scholars, how much they've served the deen. So what did Ibn Masud say? Four prayers. If I was to say to you, did Rasulullah, was he ever attacked or put to such a test that he couldn't offer the salat? You probably slap me. He goes, come on, brother, astaghfirullah. It's not like me and you, is it? Go shopping and we'll combine it, right? You know, Rasulullah. And he goes, no, brother. He was tested. And one salat was missed. They'll think, subhanAllah, brother, I'm finished. Did he miss two salats? Then the guy looks at him and he goes, two salats. Impossible, brother. Guess what? He missed two salats. Brother, did he miss three salats? The guy's now probably joking. Three salats. He goes, yes, he missed three. Did he miss four salats? The fourth he caught, it was Isha. How severe was that siege? So when you're talking about the battle of the trench, somebody goes, oh, yeah, yeah, they came and then this happened. Brother, you are doing no justice to it. I want to know what caused him to miss four prayers. He would only have missed it if he hasn't even got the ability to offer it with his eyes. You can't even move your eyes. Imagine what the Prophet told us when he offered salat. He goes, if you can't pray standing, pray sitting. If you can't pray sitting, pray lying down. If you can't pray lying down, use your eyes. Couldn't even use his eyes. So can you really understand what happened there during that month? You never understand it. But at the same time, look at how severe the test was. That's why the Quran goes, they're hard, because they weren't bothered about the kuffar. They thought, ya Allah, salat. We miss salat. Oh, yeah. Allah Ta'ala has a special relationship with me. He'll forgive me. Right? Look at the sahab. Ya Allah, throw, khabi, eyes bulging up. We miss salat. And where's the proof? Sahih Bukhari. Umar radiallahu anhu, was he a strong man? Right? Umar came and he was so upset. He goes, ya Rasulullah, I miss Asr. It was the battle of the trench. And the Prophet said, subhanallah, I have also missed Salat al-Wusta. And what did he then say? May Allah Ta'ala fill the graves of the Jews with fire. Why did he say the Jews? Because they instigated the battle. He didn't curse Abu Sufyan. He didn't curse Banu Ghatafan. You have to go back. Because they're the ones. Remember, don't forget. It wasn't them. It was the treacherous Bani Israel. May Allah Ta'ala fill their graves with fire. And that's the dua. Meaning it's definitely filled with fire. And look at Umar. He was upset. Not because of the intensity of the siege. Because I missed salat. I didn't get a chance to offer salat, ya Rasulullah. And look how beautiful. The Prophet taught us something even there. Umar called it Salat al-Asr. Rasulullah said Salat al-Wusta. Why did he say Salat al-Wusta? Because it's in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, guard your prayers, especially Salat al-Wusta. So even at that critical moment, Rasulullah has explained in Quran. Now, is Salat al-Wusta Asr? And the answer is yes. But it's also Zuhr and it's also Fajr. The hadith mentioned that. So is there a contradiction? No. Because your Salat al-Wusta is the one that you struggle with. So Allah Ta'ala is basically saying in that verse, whichever Salat you struggle with, if it's Fajr, then it's that one. Guard it. If it's Zuhr, taxi drivers, guard it. Right? If it's Maghrib, because you're working in the factory, guard it. So Allah Ta'ala calls that Wusta. But in the trench, it was Asr. Because they missed it. Right? And that hadith in Bukhari testifies to this hadith. Four prayers were missed. What does the Quran say? In Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 11. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. هنالك ابتلي المؤمنون وزلزلوا زلزالا شديدا. There the believers were sorely tested. They were shaken with a mighty shaking. Look how Allah Ta'ala is describing it. He goes, I severely tested them. Now, what's interesting about that? What did the Prophet ﷺ say? You are tested according to your religious commitment. Hang on a minute, brother. What did the Prophet ﷺ say?
Yes.
In Imam Ahmad's Musnad, you are tested according to your religious commitment. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, if your commitment is strong, you are tested accordingly. If it is weak, it is lessened. Somebody goes, okay, that's a hadith. What does Allah the Almighty and Glorious say in the battle of the trench? هُنَالِقَبْتُ لِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. There the believers were sorely tested. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Shaken with a mighty shaking. What is Allah Ta'ala really telling you about the Sahaba? That the Iman is of the Richter scale. Think about it. What test have we had? You know, so thus far, if, you know, you haven't dropped dead yet, hopefully not, right? So, right? So somebody goes, what biggest test you've been through, brother? Right? What is it? Somebody died, right? Yeah, mashallah. That's your biggest test. Because forget about, what about apart from death? What? You got divorced, right? Oh, mashallah, right? What the big... And that's your test. There's your Imam, brother. Allah Ta'ala only tests you according to your commitment. But some people, you notice, I'll give you an example. Urwa ibn Zubair, who's that? Urwa ibn Zubair, rahmatullah alayh, he was Zubair's son, radiyallahu. And he basically, they had to cut off one of his body parts, either his leg or his arm, because of gangrene. And they said to him, this is going to be painful, but we have to do it. And he goes, just do it, don't worry. And as they cut his leg off, I think it was, he was doing zikr. And he was doing shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they said to him, you're doing shukr. But you've lost your leg. And then he said, alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala's, and he lost a son as well. He goes, Allah Ta'ala's given me 4 sons. He's taken one of them. He's left me with 3, alhamdulillah. He gave me 4 limbs. He's took 1. He's left me with 3. Alhamdulillah. Have you been tested like that? If doctor goes, yeah, got some news here. Yeah, going to take your legs out. Next minute, like, what is it? What am I? You're in hospital, but you fainted. Right? You couldn't even take it. And that's with morphine, everything. Right? Then after that, you go, Ya Allah, you took my legs. Oh, you're mourning now. Right? MashaAllah. There's your test. So Allah Ta'ala is telling you something about the Sahaba here. I shook them with a mighty shaking. Basically, their iman's not like anybody else's iman. Now think about this. Sa'd ibn Ubadah, radiyallahu anhu. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Have I mentioned his name in the last 2 sessions? No. But from that verse, what have you learned? The iman. Allah Ta'ala goes, I threw the kitchen sink at them. They passed. And there's actually another verse where Allah Ta'ala says in the same surah that when this test came, they say, Alhamdulillah, this is what Allah Ta'ala promised us. So Allah Ta'ala actually quotes some of the sahaba. They were waiting for that test. He goes, Allah Ta'ala said he's going to test us. And when he came, they go, Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala promised this. So when the test came, they were happy. Think about it. The test comes, where go, Ya Allah, please get rid of it. They were happy. And the last thing, before wrapping up, why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam curse the Jews? He never cursed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because I have not been sent to curse. I am a mercy to everything that exists. In Tirmidhi, Hasan Sahih. Well, he cursed the Jews. May Allah Ta'ala fill the Jews' graves with fire. The reason was, you have to go back to the Battle of Uhud. In the Battle of Uhud, they almost killed the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He lost one of his blessed teeth. He was struck on his shoulder. He was bleeding from his face. The chinks of the helmet penetrated his cheeks. He fell into a ditch. Despite all the harm they gave him, in Sahih Muslim, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. So a person goes, why did he pray for their mercy in Uhud? And he cursed them in the battle of the trench. This is the reason. Because when it came to himself, he forgave. They wanted to kill him. So when it was personal, he forgave. He goes, Ya Allah, they don't understand. Give them understanding. But because he missed Salah, the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he got angry. Think about that. He goes, may Allah ta'ala fill the graves of the Jews with fire. Now look at the lesson there. The lesson there is, if somebody's attacking your honor, forgive. That's the sunnah of the Prophet, because it's personal. But when somebody does something to you which affects your deen, then you get angry. Because it's got nothing to do with you now. And that's the sunnah of Rasulullah. And what the tragedy is reversed. Right? If somebody attacks your honor, you even say it. Now it's personal. And then you let rip. So you've actually made the statement completely opposite to the sunnah. Now it's personal. Oh brother, if it's personal, don't get angry. And the opposite. He missed somebody causes harm to you. Yeah, Allah, he doesn't understand. Have mercy on him. Right? Because is that what the Prophet did? When somebody, you know, took at the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So note again how important salat is in the believer's life. The Prophet got angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But note, it was the Bani Israel who caused this, you know, this havoc. So all I mentioned today was basically some of the key elements again in the Battle of Uhud. Completed the beautiful report of Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiyallahu. And note, he was honored above others to see the angels. That was an honor for him, Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiyallahu. And then extracting lessons from those glorious verses of Surah Al-Ahzab. I didn't go through all the verses, but you can look yourself and realize how Allah Ta'ala has given you the great details of that encounter. Are there any questions? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب اليك واتوب اليك سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصي بالحق ونواصي بالصبر صدق الله العظيم